might be too strung out on compliments, overdosed on confidence, started not to give up.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We've done a little bit different on Throwback Thursday. Instead of giving you the songs of the year, we're giving you the songs of the subject. 1993, Montreal beats the LA Kings for the Stanley Cup on this date. That's the last time Canada, a team from Canada, had won the Stanley Cup. So we're going with Canadian artists today, and this is Drake, of course. We couldn't go the show without Drake. Progressive Insurance, making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com or Progressive Guest Line. Dan Favalli, Bleacher Report on Game 3 in the series between Golden State and Boston. How are you, Dan? Well, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Dan, last night's game is sometimes we have a pivotal point in a series. Do you feel like this was a pivotal point in this series, the way the Celtics beat Golden State last night?
Yeah, I definitely think it does. I mean, you look at the way that Golden State lost, where they were really unable to crack Boston's defense a lot of the time, and they were also able to, there was a failure for them to contain the ball at the other end themselves, and it makes you wonder whether they have enough depth or enough alternatives to some of their best players when you're looking at how poorly Draymond Green played on offense and even how he struggled on defense, if they're starting to sort of run out of athletic juice when you're looking at the mobility and the explosion of some of Boston's other players. And it puts them in this situation where they have to win a game four on the road, lest they fall down 3-1 and are forced to win three in a row.
How much of a problem is Draymond Green for Golden State right now? How much of a liability is he?
On offense, he's definitely a liability. It was very bizarre to see, I would say, how poorly he defended in Game 3. That's something you can kind of bank on not happening again. But when you look on offense, the Celtics aren't even guarding him. He's missed all of his three-pointers. He's thrown some really, really, really bad passes during this series. It makes me wonder if Steve Kerr might consider playing Kevon Looney as sort of the lone big in certain lineups when Golden State is looking to downsize. Because when you have Jordan Poole even kind of struggling on offense or not being as aggressive as normal, to then have to deal with what's happened with Draymond and, again, the turnovers and just him not being able to capitalize as a scorer really at all this series, it might lead you to at least have to try and experiment with some different lineup combinations where Draymond Green isn't necessarily on the floor.
There was some criticism, at least on social media and whatnot, that Steve Kerr is not utilizing his bench as much. Is that fair criticism so far?
It probably is fair criticism. It feels like he's trying to button up his rotation after maybe going a little bit too deep with it in game one. It was certainly curious for him to go with Andre Iguodala down the stretch after Draymond fouled out. I think that would have been a better situation for Gary Payton II or leaning on Otto Porter Jr. more. I don't know if those are injury issues with both of those guys. But once you start to get past Golden State's top five or six players right now, it does feel like the Warriors are searching for something, and part of what they're searching for is an answer for when some of those top five or six players are struggling. And it's just really hard to replace so much of what's happening when you look at not only Draymond, but even Jordan Poole in this series, who again had an okay game three, but just isn't as aggressive on the offensive end as he normally is. And when he doesn't give you any defensive punch, that's also a disadvantage that you're being put at.
Well, let's get to Boston. What were the lessons they learned in Game 2 and the loss there that allowed them to play the way they did in Game 3?
It definitely seemed like they were more relentless with how they were attacking in the half court. When you look at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum specifically, neither of them are shooting a spectacular clip from two-point range this series. Even though Jaylen Brown's finished pretty well at the rim, Jason Tatum specifically is hitting more of his threes than his two-pointers at this point, I believe. But they kept going at Golden State's defense. And what happens there, it generates some free-throw opportunities. We saw that for Jason Tatum. And it also gives you these drive-and-kick scenarios where you've put Golden State's defense in rotation, and they were definitely over-helping, it seemed like, in Game 3. And that allows you to move the ball in a simplistic matter, but you're going to find guys who are open and can either shoot or they're able to put the ball on the floor and try and finish around the arc, or even sets up easy lob opportunities for Robert Williams III.
Let's start defensively. What is Boston doing? Because Boston has had a lot of success over the years against Golden State defensively, even the Brad Stevens days. But what is it about what they do, whether it's how they guard Steph Curry, how they guard Klay Thompson? What is it about the way they guard this team that has allowed them some success?
You know, what's interesting is that I don't actually think they've done a good job guarding Steph Curry in this series. They have Al Horford just dropping back so much after there's been a screen set for Steph, and Curry's been able to capitalize on that a bunch. But when you look at just sort of the rest of the roster, having Jaylen Brown attached to Klay Thompson, making life difficult on him. I know Thompson has 25 in game three, but he has not had a great series, and he has taken some bad shots. And the way that they're able to be ultra aggressive by helping off of Draymond Green, allowing Marcus Smart to play super physical, giving Jason Tatum the freedom to really help. And then I think you have to give a lot of credit around the basket specifically to Al Horford and Robert Williams III. They make it really difficult with not just their size, and both of them really aren't that big, but really just their length and their decision-making. You can see that when Golden State does attack the rim, and you see it most with Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins, Boston without Horford and Robert Williams III has been able to make both of those guys really, really uncomfortable.
Dan Frivoli, Bleacher Report, talking NBA and the NBA Finals. Your analysis, Dan, on the third quarter. Why is Golden State so good in that quarter, and why is Boston so struggling in that quarter?
You know, I honestly don't have a good answer for that. Golden State has always just been this third quarter team. I think the Warriors did a nice job, especially in game three, of putting the ball in Steph Curry's hands and giving him ball screens and attacking Boston's defense that way. But then the story of the Celtics, they've just struggled a lot in third quarters, it feels like, the entire postseason. And I don't know if that's something to do with fatigue coming out of the half, where they're not really warmed up and they need some time to get their legs out from under them. It seems inexplicable, this dynamic between the Warriors and the Celtics in the third quarter. I do think in game three, though, we saw that Boston was kind of able to withstand that punch and then give one of their own to actually close that third quarter, which is probably one of the more encouraging signs we've seen from them in these playoffs.
The Celtics seem like, to me, okay, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're younger. But in this whole postseason, I feel like they've just slogged enough to make me think that they're vulnerable, that they don't always take advantage of what is presented to them. They couldn't quite close out Milwaukee when they probably should have. They definitely didn't close out Miami sooner than they should have. Do you get the feeling like they've learned from that, or do you think that's still open to this series?
I don't know if it's necessarily something they've learned from, but it's definitely something that they've avoided this series, because you talk about Milwaukee, Miami, there are a lot of, I don't want to call them collapses, but they struggled in the fourth quarter down the stretch. They're often slowed down a ton, and now we've seen them come back, and they come from behind in the fourth quarter to beat the Warriors in game one, and then they're able to hold off the Warriors towards the end of game three in the fourth. That being said, I think you can still see traces of those struggles in their offense. Late in game three, they're still trying to run down the shot clock rather than actually run their offense. And that's going to make things easier on Golden State defensively. And then once you miss a shot, they're going to be able to get out in transition and get some easier scoring opportunities there. So they were able to avoid disaster in game three. And I think a lot of that had to do with how poorly Draymond's playing. He fouls out. And there's the Steph Curry injury towards the end of the game. Steve Kerr winds up pulling all his main guys with more than 2 minutes left, I think. It's something to definitely watch for, though, because there were hints of it again in game three of Boston, you know, playing basically preventative offense.
Some of those issues that you brought up with Golden State may have a factor in the answer to this next question. But if these series are games of adjustments, what would Steve Kerr need to do to get this team to play Golden State level of basketball in game four?
Yeah, I mean, you need, this is oversimplistic, but you need more from Draymond Green on defense. Otherwise, as I said at the top, I think you're going to have to explore some different front court combinations. And I think you also have to look at maybe when you're downsizing the makeup of those lineups, you might have to skew differently. And I think you immediately search for Jordan Poole or even Klay Thompson, depending on how he's playing, because they've had to stash him on bigs on defense for a lot of this series. Maybe giving Otto Porter Jr. minutes or even Gary Payton a second minutes over one or both of those guys in those situations, assuming they're healthy enough to play. That's a route that I think you have to consider at this point, given how much Boston has been able to carve you up defensively at points through the, you know, the first three quarters or three and a half quarters of this game. And especially if you're not getting the level of offensive production from Jordan Poole or Klay Thompson that you need, both of those guys are forcing you to jump through some hoops on the defensive end that right now, with the exception of game three for Klay and the end of game two for Jordan Poole, aren't really worth it.
Dan Frivoli, Bleacher Report on a Progressive guest line. Thank you so much for coming on this morning, especially after a game and giving us your time and insight. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me as always. Take care.
You got it. Dan Frivoli, again, NBA, to talk from Bleacher Report. And, yeah, I want to say very badly that the Celtics have found it, but I don't trust them quite yet. I've thought that a couple of times in this postseason, and this is a different team than Milwaukee that didn't have Chris Middleton and Miami that was beat up. Golden State might have an injury or issue with Steph Curry. We'll see. They're kind of mum on it afterwards, but this isn't a Golden State team that you can just go up. Oh, the light bulb is on, and now, I don't know if you dismiss them that much. I think they're going to come out blazing in game. You try to beat size with speed and outside shooting, but you can't always counter size, and Boston definitely has that. All right, I want to get more into the golf tournament that's going on in London today, more press conferences yesterday. We're also going to dive more into the Deshaun Watson and the legal situation that he is under, not just to the standpoint of the what he's facing in terms of civil suits, but what Cleveland has got with their contract. Dan Lust will join us to talk the legal side of Deshaun Watson. That is all coming up as Hour 3 continues on Wake Up Call.